Okay. Let's get started. You both were here last time, two weeks ago? Okay. Alright, so let's just recap very quickly. We explained mainly why the Torah was given in two parts, the Torah Shebechsav, the Torah Shebaal Peh. Did they shift their own classes or something? To understand what the Rambam did, you have to understand how he filled in our literary gap, and he was a tremendous played a tremendous role in how the Torah Shebaal Peh came to be in writing. So in lieu of explaining that, so we explained already last week about that the Torah is given in two parts, a written Torah and an oral Torah, and the Torah that's visible versus the Torah that's heard, which means the visible is the facts, and what the explanation is always oral. That's the way it always works. Right? We explained this at great length last time we met. Okay. So now, the big revolution, right? The big revolution of the Mishnah is not what's commonly believed that the Torah Shebaal Peh got written. That's not the point. Right? We brought from the Rambam, which the Rambam says that people always took notes. Right? From the days of Moshe, Moshe Beinu gave a shir, he said the pasuk, he said what the pasuk means. People took notes, on his explanations that Moshe Beinu himself explained. Eye for an eye doesn't mean literally eye for an eye, it means money. Right? Or the pre-eight hadara we take is the esrog, as we know it. Right? It's not the lemon. People always took notes. But the thing is that in how the Torah was to be transmitted, you weren't allowed to teach from your notes. The Torah Shebaal Peh had to remain a commentary on a Chumash. So the text would always be the Pasuk. And that's how every Shir would always start. The Shir would start with the Pasuk. And they'd start bringing down, orally what the Pasuk means. And then, the discussion would lead wherever it would lead. That only the Bible was meant to be the text of the Torah. And everything else is supposed to be commentary. And if the Torah Shebaal Peh would be written, it wouldn't be a commentary anymore, it would be a book in its own right. And that's not the way God wanted. God wanted that, what is seen, which is what came down by prophecy, is what qualifies to be in the Torah Shebaal Peh. And you take a look, anything that's in Torah Shebaal Peh, it's all Nebuah. Whether it's the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Chumash, or it's the Nebuah of the other Nebuim, that's what became the Nebuim and the Ksuvim. And that's what the prophet actually saw. Just like he saw it, so that's what's visible. That's the text. Everything else is explanation. And that's, And we explained it at great length last time, I'm sure if everyone was there, so there's no need to repeat ourselves why explanation is always, conveyed with speech and hearing. The big revolution of the Mishnah is that Rebbe made Torah Shebaal Peh its own book. That's the amazing revolution of the Mishnah. Mishnah is considered revolutionary even in its own time when people were still learning it Baal Peh. So it's an error what people think that the Mishnah was a revolution because it was written. In its own generation when it was composed, it wasn't written. They didn't publish it. The Mishnah wasn't published. It was taught orally. But it changed the, that the Mishnah is not built around Chumash. It's a book in its own right. You can learn Mishnah, and you'll do very well without knowing any Chumash. There's a quote from the Chumash once every 20, 30 Mishnahs. There might be a quote from Chumash, and you don't even need that quote to understand what's being said. That was the revelation. That was like the revolution, I mean to say, of the Mishnah. Torah Shebaal Peh has its own text. And Rebbe felt, Rebbe wrote the Mishnah, thought it was necessary to do it this way, otherwise the Torah would be forgotten. must be reduced to its own text. Its own text. Leave it as floating around Chumash, as in the very Chumash, it'll get lost. It has to be its own text. And Rav Yishuv was there was its own text. They taught Mishnah. They stopped teaching it Perushim on as it used to be. The style of Shiurim was they started with a pasuk. They would say, you know, this is what tradition says, and that's how the whole discussion would unfold. They stopped it. They started teaching the Mishnah. And after they heard teaching what the Mishnah means, and at the Talmud. Right? Right? The Talmud is less revolutionary than the Mishnah, we said last time. Because the Talmud, even though it was committed to writing, and also the Talmud also was not published in its own day. You know, the Talmud was published, you know, about hundreds of years later. They kept the Talmud Baal Peh even after it was reduced to a particular text. Right? But still, you know, it wasn't the revolution of the Mishnah, because the Talmud still remains a commentary. It's a commentary on the Mishnah. And that's the, as it were, the proper form for the Torah Baal Peh, to be a commentary. Not to be a book in its own right. You won't get very far learning Talmud without knowing Mishnah. You don't know what's going on. It's a commentary on the Mishnah. But you can learn Mishnah and you'll do fine if you don't know any Chumash. Now I just want to make you aware of one more point. Then we're going to come to what the Rambam did. You know, trust me, this is not superfluous. Okay? Yeah. You have to understand that, you know, the fact that, you know, the Torah Baal Peh now, you know, I should say now, till the Rambam, had two major forms of Mishnah and Talmud. Okay? You have to understand that the Torah Baal Peh always lent itself to being divided up that way. There's a Gemara in Brachos, very interesting Gemara, and we're going to come back to this Gemara, because the Rambam quotes this Gemara to explain what he's done. Right. Says, it's a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, Ve'etnochaz luchos ha'even, ha'terah v'ha'mitzvah asher kasati l'rosim. God says to Moshe, after he gave him the tablets of law, I now give you the tablets of stone, the Torah and the mitzvah that I have written, to direct the Jewish people. So the Gemara in Brachos, you know, learned this pasuk as follows. Luchos ha'aven, I gave you the Torah, that's obviously Luchos. HaTorah, I gave you the Torah. Zu Torah shebichsav, that's the written law. V'ha'mitzvah, zu Mishnah. The mitzvah refers to Mishnah. Asher kasafi that I have written, zu neviim uksudim, that refers to not. L'hiroisam, to direct them, zu Talmud, that refers to the Talmud. Now this part of God says at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, you know, in heaven, when Moshe had learned with him, I gave you the Torah, the mitzvah, asher kasafi rosam, which Chazal see in that, besides the tablets, there's the Chumash, the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, the Mishnah and the Talmud. Now what does that mean? What does that mean? Now the Mishnah we know got written by Rabbeinu HaKadosh thousands of years later. A thousand years later. The Nevi'im and Ksuvim that gradually got written, you know, in the days of the Shoftim, in the First Temple period. The Gemara by Ravina and Ravashi. What's going on? Any suggestions? What? So what this has to mean, so it's not obviously not saying that we had these books before the authors of these books wrote them. Can't mean that. What it means is that Torah always was designed to take on these different forms ever since God gave it. God gave it, being pre-designed to take on these forms. So let's start with Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Right? Obviously, it wasn't written till it was written. So what does this mean? So there's another Gemara. Gemara says, in the Dorit, that if the, Ilmoli Choti Solonle Melachamisha Chum Shei Tera, the Sefer Yeshua Mei Erkashar, so if the Jewish people were not sin, the only books of the written law would have been Chumash, and Sefer Yoshua, for practical reasons, because there, how to divide up the land of Israel between different tribes, and that's where the Torah of Asav would have ended. But because the Jewish people sinned, right? So God had to send us the prophets to rebuke us. So what? Most of the Nevi'im and Ksuvim is all Musar. So now I ask you, there's no Musar in Chumash?
They don't know how to
pronounce
the Chumash.
What?
There's a lot of Musar.
Right? It's there. But it's not very detailed.
The
It's there, yeah. So you have the Tokacha here, and Parshas Kisa. Tokacha before, and Parshas Bechukosa. A few mitzvahs that direct us about Tikkun Amidus, Zekeli Bambel, you have to try to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not very detailed. But there's no question that the details are included in those principles. They're just not spelled out. Right, we agree on that? There's a lot more Musar in Yirmiyahu than there is in the whole Chumash. Right? A lot more Musar in Treyasa. And I could show you how all the Musar in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim could boil down to the Psukim in the Chumash. They're all included, implicit over there. But people need it to be reminded, and they need it spelled out for them. Right? So Torah was pre-designed that if need be, it could branch out into the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. That's what it means. Right? When Yishayahu and Yirmiyahu, when they came on the scene, they didn't invent a new Torah, God forbid. Now they just brought out the details that are implicit in the Musar of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? No prophet's allowed to create new Torah. Right? And the prophet is not allowed to create new Torah. Whatever Chazal accepted as, this is a branch of the written law, is because it fits back into Chumash. Ela, mitzvahs, these are mitzvahs, Chazal says, this is a part of the question. Because Mikan She'ein Novi Rasha L'Chan Shover, the prophet can't make up new Torah. It's not that we reject Yoshka and Muhammad because we think they were lying. Judaism doesn't accept the possibility that there could be a new law or additions to the law or changes to the law. It's impossible. There's no way we could have ever accepted Yoshka or Muhammad. And Navi cannot create new terror. So the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, it's implicit in what God gave Moshe. And that's what Chazal say in that Gemara on this quote. If we wouldn't have needed the added Musar, those books wouldn't have been written, so it wouldn't have had to branch out in that direction. It wouldn't have been necessary. Because, we sinned. So we had to be straightened out by these Nevi'im. Who expanded, nothing new, but brought out the details of the Musar that we're in there. But what interests me more, right, is for our person our discussion is that this pasuk alludes to how Torah Shabbat has two different parts to it. Mishnah Hamitzvah is Mishnah, right? And Lo'ot doesn't is Gemara. And this is already talking the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? This goes all the way back to Moses, right? That there was going to be two different things, Mishnah and Talmud. It's not just generic oral law. That means that, you know, two things, right? First of all, that whatever Rabbeinu HaKadosh did when he wrote the Mishnah, it was something that he, that was something that was pre-programmed to be possible. Right. If a Navi is not allowed to reinvent the Torah, certainly so a person is not a Navi. It was always meant that such a thing could happen, but it's more than that. There was something like Mishnah and something like Talmud all the time, even before Rebbe wrote the Mishnah as we have it, and Ravina Rabashi wrote the Gemara as we have it. There were precursors to it. Always, always, always. The very fact that you could come to a conclusion, this is the halakha. This is how you shape Lula. That's Mishnah. The fact that, you know, there could be a final psak halacha, a directive, you know, this is codified law, we call it, codified law. Like if you ever took a class in law, the Goyim have this also. There's like the law as it's published, and it's, you know, the published law is generally very simple. This and this is the law. Then in the fine print on the bottom, they go into how the law became the law and what was the famous case in which the law got laid down to set the precedent. There's like the body of the law, not the law itself. And there's all the, yeah, why the law is the law. The fact that I can explain to you, you know, in simple English how to shape ruach without explaining to you all the rumbles of why it has to be this way and it cannot be any other way, that is Mishnah. That's Mishnah. Just saying the plain facts as they are. Torah Shabbat Peh can do that. Right? That is, you know, the programming in Torah Shabbat Peh that enables Mishnah. The Talmud doesn't tell you what to do. Right? The Talmud tells you why the halacha is the halacha. Why you can't say any different. Why it had to be this way. Pure commentary. Explaining the necessity. Doesn't say what to do. Explains why the law is the law. There were always such a thing as Mishnayos. Codified law. Gemara says that until the generation of Hillel and Shammai, there were actually 600 orders of Mishnah. Now we only know 6. These 600. And, you know, the later generation saw that it's just too detailed. People can't handle it. So they condensed it to 6. And this is talking about generations before. Many generations before Ben Rokosh. This is until the days of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai was about 5 generations before Ben Rokosh. There were 600 orders of Mishnah. What does that mean? That means that they had a lot of, as it were, published law. Do this, don't do that, don't do that. And separate from that was the Talmud aspect of the Torah about that, explaining why it has to be this way and it cannot be any other way, and what are the origins of this ruling. The Jewish people couldn't handle it, so they worked on, they condensed it to 6. And this condensing to 6 also happened before Rabbeinu HaKadosh came on the scene. Maybe you hear the famous statement, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir? funny, it's a Gemara used often. You want to know who the Mishnah is going. Well, it was established by Rebbe Meir that Rabbeinu Hirsch took Rebbe Meir's Mishnahs. People used to write their own Mishnahs. Hey, not people, you know, there's a whole academies to come out with their own Mishnahs. Mishnah is published, you know, as a codified one. Everyone had their own Mishnah, everyone had their own Talmud. They had their codified law, and they had explained why the law is the law. But until Rabbeinu Karsh, no one was ever allowed to teach it that way. They were only allowed to teach everything as a commentary on Chumash. But for their own purposes, everyone had their own Mishnah. For their own purposes, everyone had their own Talmud. Just in how Torah was always transmitted, it was always transmitted as a commentary on Chumash, like we explained last time. But that Torah could, the oral law could break up into these forms, that's as ancient as Torah itself. Yeah, I'll give you an example. You know Mishnah Berurah? Mishnah Berurah in text. The Shulchan Aruch is like Mishnah. And the Mishnah Berurah is like Gemara. And that's like even stylistically, the Hebrew of the Mechaber. The Mechaber and the Ramad in this day is what to do. Come to Mishnah Berurah and explain. Yeah. So the Mechaber and Ramah following the lead of the Mishnah, that style of Torah Balpeh is Mishnah style. The style of the Mishnah Berurah, or his precursors like the Shach, the Taz, and the other, that's Gemara style. These trends, these styles are as ancient as Torah itself. Why did I do this all to you? I hope I didn't bore anybody. Right? The most radical thing that the Rambam did in his own day. We think that the most radical thing he did was write the Morning Book. Not true. The Morning Book is not radical because it was written. It's considered radical because of some of the opinions contained therein. The most radical thing that the Rambam wrote was the Mishnah Torah. We don't think of it as radical anymore because it's 800 years later. We got very comfortable with it and we use it a lot. But the Mishnah Torah in his day was considered to be very revolutionary, very radical. He was accused of trying to supplant the Gemara. For the Rambam, by and large, what were written were commentaries on the Talmud. So even though there were certain earlier halachas for him, like the Halachas Kedoshim, but it was never on the entirety of Torah. It was like, they took detailed halachas, right? Like no one wrote a book that codified the entirety of the Torah. You get the early halachas from the Sefer Eshkol, the Baal Tzedos, they had Hilchos Shabbos, to help out the layman, right? And so they were on detailed topics. There was never a Havamina that you could get by with this book and not need the Talmud, because it doesn't cover not only not the depth of it, but not the breadth of it. It was like, no Havamina, you'd always need the Talmud to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. Came the Rambam, and then called Tarkut, just took on a new form. It's my book, the Yad HaChazaka. History, it's not commonly transmitted how much heat he got for that audacious move, trying to supplant the Talmud. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? We're going to learn your book. We're not going to learn the Talmud anymore. I didn't have a chance to photocopy this before Testament start, but I'll read you some quotes about what the Rambam writes. Yes, about his work. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama, right, his Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, explaining what this book is for. Right. Shetei Torah Shebaal Peh, Dura B'Tiyakol. With my book, everyone could have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh on his tongue. Lokus Shukor Dura, because it's all being called Mitzvah, it's been a drum, Shetei Chaim, he'll know everything. Klalo Shodavar, to sum it up, says the Rambam. The Rambam has to make no mistake. To sum it up, Shkidei Shelo Yadam Tzarech L'Chibur Acher Ba'olam. You won't need any other book in the world. B'din Midin Yisrael, you don't need any other book in the world to know any din anywhere. This book holds in it the entirety of Parsha Malka. Right, then he goes on to explain, because I have in this book everything, you know. I have the whole Talmud, and if there's been things written since the Talmud, what the Gaonim wrote, I have that also. Not going over there. He says, I have it all. It's all in here. You don't need anything else. Right? And he says it again. You know, vis-a-vis your chiyuv Talmud Torah. Lefi she'adam kore b'torsh v'chsav tchila v'acha kore b'zeh l'vir mer torsh b'av kula v'en etzich likro sefach v'nan. You read the Bible, for it to be yotzei your chiyuv to know torsh v'chsav, and you read this book to know torsh about, then you're done. Sounds right. You don't need the Talmud anymore. Right? Take it in here. Most literally. The Rambam further has a letter. This is what the Rambam writes himself in his Hakdama. Right, to the Mishnah Torah. Right? And then the Rambam writes a letter to his Talmud, Yosef Ibn Yehuda Beknin, the same one that the Morin Avuchim is addressed to. So in the letter he wrote like this. Hatakhtul says the Talmud is Ulasa Parnichrasa Va'avda, right? What Ravina Ravashi intended with the Talmud, that intent is no longer fulfilled. Right? The Takhtus Alamdorim Kiwi is Ma'asadana, and people who learn are just wasting their time, you know, with Talmudic arguments. They're not doing what the Talmud was meant for, which is to arrive at the final halacha through this technology. People just getting hung up on the dialectic without getting to the purpose of the dialectic, which is to get to the Pesach Halacha, right? Right? Right, and so it goes on to, right, you know, people are just wasting their time with the way they handle the Gemara. Right, so what you do, you advise the student, learn Rit, if you want, summarize Talmud, learn my book, compare the two, but basically learn my book and let's push the book everywhere. It sounds like, it's like the phase of Gemara. But it's not that simple. Because the Rambam himself writes in the laws of Talmud Torah, you know, in the Yadah Chazok, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, right? He writes as follows, Chai v'sar v'sman v'midah. So a person has to divide the time he learns Torah into thirds. Like if you have 9 hours a day, you divide it up into thirds. Shlish b'torsh v'chsav. One third you learn, you know, the written law, Bible. Shlish the Torah Shebaal Peh. One third you learn Torah Shebaal Peh. The shlish, now the third of your time, Yodin v'yaskel achas d'orei. You'll try to understand how the the origins of the conclusion, meaning is the final halacha, what are the origins of it? The other two, and also compare and contrast different halachas.
Right.
Right, the other, compare and contrast different halachas for the purpose of creating new halacha. The yodin b'midas shatan adresem, and you should also apply, the midas shatan adresem, kalvachomer gzera shava, use those midas to understand how the halacha branched out from the chumash, its relationship to the chumash, with the midas shatan adresem. The Indian said, who are Nikra Talmud? And this third is what I call Talmud. And he's right. It's Talmud as we know, because that's what the Gemara does. The Gemara researches on the origins of Halakha. The Gemara compares and contrasts. And the Gemara also frequently asks the non-immunity words, the original source of the commission shows the drasha that brought the Halakha out of the commission. So Rambam said you have to do this one third of your time. One third of your learning time has to be engaged in this type of study. You can't do that with this Mishnah Torah. The Mishnah Torah just says what to do and what not to do. There's nothing in the Mishnah Torah that can help you understand what the origins of the law are. You can't even use it to compare and contrast and figure out new law because you don't know why the law is the law in the first place. Now that the Rambam goes on in Hilchos Talmud Torah and says, when I said all this to divide your learning time in thirds, that's until you finish. No, all finish. For the Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? But once you finish, right? Yachne kol yomav v'talmud v'vat, spend all your time on Talmud. So when did I say divide up your time in thirds? Right? Because you still haven't finished all of Tanakh. You still haven't finished, all of Halacha. Once you finish, then you know it already, you should spend 100% of your time, minus time that you need to chavis, so you don't forget, minus that time, but basically all your time should be engaged in this area of inquiry, of researching the origins of Halacha, and trying to create new Halacha. By comparing and contracting, saying, President, you can't live with the Rambam's mission first. And he says that once you know it all, that you should be doing all the time. And we seem to have a contradiction. The resolution to the contradiction comes in a letter that the Rambam wrote to Rav Pinchas Hadayim. Right? This Rav Pinchas Hadayim, we don't have the letter that he wrote to the Rambam, the Rambam's responded to, but it's clear from the response that he listed off a whole world of list of complaints and criticisms that he has on the Rambam. And one of them was, you're trying to supplant the Gemara. You accuse him of trying to phase out the Gemara. I want you to learn your book instead of the Gemara, because this book covers the entirety of Torah. So I'm going to read to you, inside, the Rambam's response to the Pinchas Hadayim. The Rambam first says it's not true. Right? It's a lie. I never said to burn all the books of those that preceded me. And the Rambam goes on to say that when in his yeshiva, when Bachurim came, he never taught them, unless they asked for it. He never taught them Mishnah Torah. He taught Talmud and he taught Rit also. But he denies the accusation. And then he goes on to explain. And now I'm reading inside. Da Urufi Midoi, know my master and teacher. When you write a book, you have a choice of one of two styles. Either you write a composition or you write a commentary. These are your two choices when you want to write a book. Which style should you take? Do you write a book that's a composition in its own right, or you write a book that's a commentary on something else? V'derech hibur laskei dvorim anachonim b'uvat v'lo kusha v'lo pirk v'lo shum ra'i v'olam k'mo she'osa rabbeinu akosh b'chibur ha'mishnah. Right? If you want to choose the style of writing a composition in its own right, the proper way to do that, says the Rambam, is just to say the facts as they are, not explaining why the facts are the facts, and if you want the book just to be a book in its own right, so you just say the facts, and Rambam adds on, parenthetically, that was Rabbeinu Akarsh's style in the Mishnah. You just write the facts, no commentary. V'derech ha'pirush la'afkir dvorim ha'nachonim dvorim ha'acherim ha'tzosom v'akushis ha'kol dvorim ha'pirush v'arayi sh'zindor zez v'shekar or sh'zer roi zeri v'zeh derech ha'talmud sh'talmud pirush ha'mishnah. And if you're writing a commentary, so if that's what you're writing, so then over there the style of a commentary in fact is to compare and contrast. There's one way of understanding, there's another way of understanding. This way is right and the other way is wrong because of X, Y, and Z. Because if you say like this, you'll have this and this and this difficulty. You say like that, you won't have this difficulty. That's a good commentary. That's the style of a commentary. And Rama adds off, and frankly, that's the style of the Talmud. Well, that's what a Talmud does. It explains the necessity of why the law is the law and why it could not have been any other way. And a person who writes the book should choose. Do you want this style, that style? And one is the style of the Mishnah, one is the style of the Talmud. Right? V'ani lo afisi pirush el achibur derech ha-Mishnah. And what did I do in my Mishnah Torah? I did not write a commentary. I wrote a book. The book is all right. Like the Mishnah. I follow the style of the Mishnah. And the Rambam indeed writes in a few places that he means that very literally. He followed the style of the Mishnah. First of all, the Hebrew that the Rambam chose for his Mishnah Torah is the Hebrew of the Mishnah. It's not a biblical Hebrew. He writes that. That he says that's the Hebrew people relate to the best, understand the best. And he also says that how he divided up is a very parallel way to how the Mishnah is divided up. The Mishnah has Siddurim. Within the Siddurim, Masechtos. Within Masechtos, Prakim, and within Prakim, Mishnayim. Rambam writes black and white. I imitated that, just I don't have 6 orders, I have 14 orders, Sefer Mada, and I have my own Masechtos. Masechtos, Hilchos Yisoriyat, Masechtos, Hilchos Beis, right? And within it I have Prakim, and within that I have detailed halakhas. Now he follows the style of the Mishnah very, very closely. Just since you want to include all the information there is in the Gemara also, it couldn't be enough of just 6 orders, he did 14. But hear what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying, I wrote a new Mishnah. I didn't write a new Talmud. You hear? The Mishnah Torah is Mishnah. It's not Talmud. I'm going to show you very clearly that the Rambam, when he said you use my book, said you use my book for the second third of your learning. Not for the third third. You don't need anything else other than my book for the second third of learning. One third Tanakh, one third Parsha Balpeh. As it were, his book is the new body of Torah Shabbat, but it doesn't have in it what the Talmud has, explaining why the law is the law. And Ram never meant that he should use his book for the third third. He can't. Right. We quoted the Gemara in Brachos before. Right, the Gemara, that Begach was Luchos 7, Hatera Bar Mitzvah. Now the Begach is the Torah, the Torah, the Torah, Bar Mitzvah is Mishnah. The Rambam paraphrases that Gemara. In the very beginning of his Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka, right? So Rambam opens up and he says, you know, he quotes that pasuk. That looks like a Torah bar mitzvah, a Torah shu bechassav. Va mitzvah zu Torah shabalta. Like what the Gemara calls Mishnah, the Rambam calls generically Torah shabalta. Number two. Right, the Ram that we quote before about one third, the Ram didn't make up that all right, so Gemara, the Quresh contribution, that's not it. Right, Gemara there says, oh, Mishah Shadam, you know, Shnoisa, the person that could divide up all the years of his life into three. Right, Gemara, you know, the Yom HaLev HaMish, divide up every single day into three. All the years of Yomach is by the three, Shlish the Mikra, Shlish the Mishnah, the Shlish the Talmud. One third Mikra, written law. No, Tanakh. One third Mishnah, one third Talmud. That's not the Rambam source of that halakha. So, the Gemara called it one third written law, one third Mishnah, one third Talmud. When the Rambam quoted that law, the way it was one-third Torah Shabbat, one-third Torah Shabbat, one-third Talmud. So I'm showing you two and three words to the Rambam. The word Mishnah and the word Torah Shabbat are synonyms. And I'm explaining to you why. Right, you should understand very yourself why. Because Mishnah is how the Torah Shebaal-Peh is a body in its own right. If there's something called Torah Shebaal-Peh in its own right, as a book in its own right, that's the Mishnah phenomenon. Right, the Rambam is synonymous. If you go back to the words that the Rambam wrote in his introduction, and read them now very carefully, he says you don't need any other book for Torah Shebaal-Peh. Meaning my Mishnah Torah, and that's why I call it Mishnah Torah, not Talmud Torah, he called it Mishnah Torah. My book is the new Mishnah. My book is the new body of Torah Shabbat as a book in its own right. But my book, it doesn't have within it the commentary as to why the law is the law. For your third, you're going to have to go back to the Gemara. And if you read it carefully, that's all he said. You don't need another book for Torah Shabbat. Alright, Torah Shabbat is the second thing. You don't need another book for Torah Shabbat. You do need the Talmud to be Yotzei, the third thing of Talmud. The Rambam's criticism of those who were learning Gemara only is because they're just doing it for an intellectual exercise. They weren't getting out of it neither Mishnah nor Talmud. They're just reading them. The purpose that's meant to serve, which is to understand why the law is the law and to understand also why the final psak is the final psak. We're just enjoying the dialectic, give and take. So what have we learned? If you read the Rambam very carefully, you collate what he wrote in a lot of different places together, you understand he didn't, God forbid, want to supplant the Talmud. He didn't want to give us a new Mishnah. So you could learn the Rambam's Mishnah term, the Yotzei, the second term. Gemara calls Yochiyah Mishnah. But you cannot get away with the Mishnah Torah, the Yotzei, your obligation of the third term, of Talmud. And that the Rambam never had in mind to supplant. We say you only need another book for the body of Torah Shabbat. But for the technology, to understand what he's doing, he's on. Yeah. Alright, so the Mishnah Torah was the new Mishnah. not the new Talmud. That's what the Rambam intended it for. And just to remember that, these two styles, Mishnah style and Talmud style, this is, these are the two styles that, run throughout our tradition. The Shulchan Aruch is Mishnah style. Mishnah Berurah is Talmud style. The Torah is Mishnah style. The Beis Yosef around the Torah is Talmud style. So Rabbi Yosef Karo himself, he wrote the Beis Yosef Gemara style. He wrote the Shulchan Aruch Mishnah style. A book in its own right versus commentary. Rambam's Mishnah Torah is supposed to be the new book of Torah Shabbat, not the new book of commentary. That you still need the Talmud. Any questions? All right. It's just always very important to understand what the Mishnah Torah is, and when we get together next, which I think is going to be after the Chagim, we'll start doing more selected readings on topics. Okay. It'll be good if you bought a set of Rambam and a Mornabuch and a set of commentary Mishnah, but for selected topics, I'll endeavor to photocopy what you need. Okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, Mahasima Taylor.